Hi, and welcome to Forest of the Future, the podcast series where we talk about what is evolving in FSC and what innovations are underway. Today, we are going to zoom out for a bit and talk about big picture. The thing is that FSC is on the brink of a new era of our existence, or at least that's my feeling before entering into a conversation with my two guests today. We are a few months away from releasing our blockchain tool to the world. We are also finalizing a new voluntary module to support compliance with upcoming legislations, and FSC does not normally have voluntary modules. And we are linking all of our digital innovations that many of the last 70 podcast episodes have focused on into one new set of user-facing tools. And we're doing all of this at a speed that we normally don't see FSC have. Because let's be honest, it can be quite a slow affair to move a 30-year-old membership-led organization covering such diverse interests forward. But am I right in my feeling that things are changing and moving faster? Am I right in my feeling that within the next 6 months, a completely new FSC organization and offering will start emerging? That is what I've invited Mark Jessel, Chief Systems Integrity Officer, and Michael Maroos, Director of IT and Acting Head of Resources and Services, into the studio to have a conversation on. Let's hear what they have to say. Hi, Michael and Mark. Welcome to the podcast. I've really been looking forward to this conversation. Mark, can I start with you? Do you share my gut feeling that we're on the brink of a new era or a new version of FSC?
I do. And I think there are a number of reasons for that. First of all, in recent months and years, there has been increased interest from a wide range of different stakeholders in what we do, ensuring that when we certify a particular FMU, forest management unit, or a particular chain of custody, that there is integrity attached to that particular piece of work. And we're under, I think, quite a lot of scrutiny. It means that the way in which we go about certifying needs to meet different standards. It needs to have verifiable impact indicators. We need to start looking very seriously at traceability. There is an increased need for data. And what you're having in addition to this very strong pressure, I think, from stakeholders, which is a very positive pressure from our point of view, is legislation. I'm sure we'll talk about EUDR, the European Union Deforestation Regulation, shortly, but that is just one example of an instance where there is a need for us to step up and ensure that our standard meets the requirements of this regulation. So this is something that will also, I think, have a transformative impact on our scheme.
So you're thinking that legislation is the main driver for all of the pressure?
I think legislation is one driver. I think that EUDR is the one that we're working on at the moment, but there will be others in due course. I know, from exchanges with competent authorities that the hope is very much that other parts of the world will seek to emulate the European Union, will seek to ensure that products are deforestation and degradation free. This is just a sort of precursor to a trend that I think we will see playing out in the future years.
So I think legislation is definitely part of the push and the demand. But from where I sit, we're also seeing that voluntary certifications such as net zero and science-based targets are also playing an increasing role, and especially in what you just in a by-sentence mentioned as verified impact. Can you perhaps talk a bit about that?
Yeah, well, it's all about data, because these companies now need to be able to report against those different requirements that you've just mentioned. They need to be able to do so in a credible way. And I think this means that we need to go beyond just certifying forest management units, chain of custody certificates. We actually need to be able to overlay that with data. This is something that FSC is working on, and I think that will contribute towards a very, very sort of new era for certification schemes such as our own, because essentially what it will do is it will require us partly to comply with some of these new legislations, regulations that are coming online, such as EUDR, but it will also enable us to meet the very, very clear data requirements that companies have around the world.
And that's really, really the interesting part, because that's really where we start to increase the speed on all of the change that we've been talking about on this podcast for 70 episodes now. Michael, if I'm to bring you in, can you give us a brief explanation about what we're doing to address all of these demands that Mark just explained, both the legislative ones, the voluntary ones? What is it that we're about to launch?
What we're about to launch is an FSC blockchain. You know, it sounds very much buzzword, but it's very much targeting different pressures that certified companies and license holders are facing today. They're facing the requirement to be more transparent and more knowledgeable, deeply knowledgeable about their supply chains and what they're putting on to markets. So it's not only to answer to legislation, it's also to answer to their customers, but also for them, like Mark said, to be able to tell credible stories and to be knowledgeable about the certified supply that they are part of. I mean, today, certified companies are linked through our chain of custody, and that says a lot about what they do individually to uphold high standards set by FSC. What it doesn't do is enable them to have very good information and data about their supply chains, about the sources, about the locations and the times that can enable them to both answer to those legislation stakeholders or their customers in a way that provides 100% assurance. So what we're delivering today, yes, it is the technology and data infrastructure for companies who are already basically managing a lot of this information. Our requirements already say that companies have to maintain these up-to-date records of everything that they take in and everything that they sell into the market. What we're wanting to do here is what, I guess you could look at EUDR as an example. EUDR, companies are wanting to say, can I use my certification to support me showing compliance? Well, if you establish traceability and the information flow and sharing that allows those companies in the supply chains to credibly share and verify the materials that they're handling, then yes, that FSC certification can be unlocked to start demonstrating compliance, but also demonstrating impact. So what we're delivering today is really traceability and supply chain data that is very relevant for what those stakeholders really are asking for today.
Mm-hmm. What I think is also really important is one thing is traceability. There's a lot of traceability platforms out there, and let's face it, there are others who are saying, we have a blockchain, you can use us. But what I see as one of the unique things about the offering that we're putting to market is that it's actually tied into Earth observation and the actual geolocation of forest areas as well. Can you talk a bit to that as well?
I would actually say that that is one area that is very important. I would say the first really selling point of using certification to help with traceability and sharing of the right kind of information is the fact that being a part of an FSC supply chain, you can easily be connected with those other parts of the supply chain that you normally wouldn't be. You would have to do a lot of research to try to understand the entire supply chain. This is where FSC can play a part because we already have the connections to all of those companies. I think that the second part is exactly what you said. Earth observation, I mean, right now we're collecting all data for certified forest. We're instituting geospatial tools that allow those companies to share those geospatial references to their forest management units in a way that can start delivering something of not just transparency, but good knowledge and capabilities to understand what's going on in those forests. But also, it's the first tier of the supply chain is the source. So that kind of geospatial information is fundamental in terms of time and location.
What you just said in there, Michael, is really essential for the new era that we're moving into. The fact that we already, through our chain of custody, for the last 20 years, have had different links between different companies. They weren't able to see who was who in the supply chain, and therefore data couldn't flow. And that's Now we're setting up that data can actually flow from forest up to the shelf, essentially, something that I personally 10 years ago didn't dare to dream about. But Mark, how does this tie into what FSC normally is known for, or standards or normative framework? What is happening in that area? Are we just following the same old way that we've always been?
No, I mean, the scheme has been evolving constantly over the past 30 years, but I think the trend that we're probably observing at the moment is we're certainly moving away from a one-size-fits-all approach. Chain of custody kind of falls a little bit into that category. Of course, there are advice notes that make for some differentiation according to context, and the FM standard tends to differ country by country. But overall, I think what we're seeing is a demand for a much more differentiated approach. To quote the EUDR example once more, those companies that are seeking to import wood products to the block of 27, they will have a requirement to comply with that particular regulation, and therefore they will be the ones that opt for this voluntary EUDR module that we're developing at the moment and that we're on track to launch in the second half of this year. And I think that's just one example, but there's probably going to be more of those examples in the future where you'll have a kind of drop-down menu of what exact services do you need? Do you need this kind of data? Do you need to comply with such and such a regulation? And that will then give you a much wider range of choices that you can draw from as a certificate holder.
It sounds like you're almost saying that we're becoming more like a service provider and less of a, you have to comply with this, so we have the regulations. Is that how you see it, that we're moving into more of a holistic supporting role as an organization?
Yeah, I think that's a good way of putting it. I think we're responding to the demands of a wide range of different stakeholders, from the regulators that sit within competent authorities, to the companies themselves. We cannot in any sense divorce ourselves from what the market demands of our scheme. It's very important for us to remain completely in tune with it. And what we're observing at the moment, this new era, as you call it, is one where we're indeed enabling companies to meet different requirements depending on their precise circumstances. And I think that's a very good thing. And that is the best way in which we are going to be able to meet our mission of promoting the responsible management of forests going forward.
Michael, is that also how you see it, that we are moving away from being more like, here's a standard, here's a PDF that you have to follow, and into this more supportive role?
I would also characterize it like Mark did. I mean, it is definitely a more supportive role, but it's really an unleashing what companies want from their certification. They want more than just showing that they were audited every year and that they met very high standards. They want to actually show the meaningful impact and compliance that we talked about before, but they also want to use data for knowledge. They want to be knowledgeable. And that's where data actually gets you. I mean, You said, Laura, that there are quite a few of these blockchain solutions out there. There are a few that are very much supply chain related for different types of commodities. But still, these types of cutting edge technologies like blockchain or artificial intelligence, we're on the very edge of actually realizing what they can mean to empower companies, especially those companies that are meeting our high standards, to unleash the power of being certified and the meaning of what it means to be certified and connected in verified supply chains. So yes, definitely a more supporting role, but really also I would characterize it by saying unlocking the potential and the knowledge and data that's embedded in certification.
Can you just talk a bit more about, because I know you, so I know that when you say stuff like we're just on the edge and we could be doing much more, can you give a couple of examples of what that looks like in your head?
Blockchain, like I said, what we're delivering now is the fundamental infrastructure. It would be like a physical infrastructure that finally you're able to get from A to B. Being knowledgeable is one thing, but making it actually actionable for companies to say, yeah, I know my supply chain. I know what species I'm getting. I can answer to what those are. I know what locations I'm sourcing from. I can actually tell a story And I also can understand the impact of what I'm doing in the global supply chain that I'm a part of. That is something that companies struggle with on a day-to-day basis, even the largest multinationals, and all the way down to those companies that are really trying to make sure that they're able to manage their forest in a sustainable way, but also get market for their products that they produce.
Mm. So it sounds like for you that it's a lot about knowing your supply chain, knowing what data is in there. For me personally, but I'm also a big dreamer, it's also about unlocking all of the data that we have in the audit reports, making that actionable, making it travel throughout the supply chain, unlocking all of the data and the knowledge that we have in Earth observation.
Yeah. Absolutely. I mean, on the more beyond blockchain cutting edge technology, absolutely. Geospatial analysis day in and day out becomes even more incredible in terms of what it can deliver. And it's because of tools like artificial intelligence that are combined with geospatial analysis and combined with even more high resolution imagery that enables more knowledge of what's going on in forest or around forest that's important. I also think that, you know, I mean, if you take a well-structured verified data set, for example, that comes from blockchain, you can do all the analysis you want. But to start answering questions on why, how, where, the kinds of AI-enabled analytics has great potential to start answering questions on where there are problems, where there are opportunities, and really be that kind of tool that can support a system that is much more sustainable on a day-to-day basis.
Mm. That actually makes me want to bring you in, Mark, because you sit with system integrity on a day-to-day basis. And now Michael is talking about, I assume, big data analytics, but also internally in company analytics. So it's not like you're saying we will have access to everything because FSC won't see individual company data, but aggregated data. But from your system integrity chair, the implementation of blockchain, the implementation of Earth observation tools, and the fact that we're now really rolling those out, what does that mean for the future of the work that your team is doing?
Well, to a degree, we're going to need to ensure that the data that comes through is data that you can trust. I mean, I think the beauty of blockchain, of course, is its immutable nature. So I think there's a good chance that we will be able to fully rely on it providing us with accurate data. But I think for me, what is really truly exciting about this opportunity, if we get to a state where we will be able to have absolute full confidence that there are no false claims coming through a blockchain-enabled certificate, that we can focus on other aspects of the standard, which are incredibly important. I mean, I was in Cameroon in November witnessing an FM audit, and I witnessed the auditors going to indigenous communities to check the degree to which free, prior and informed consent standards were being adhered to by the certificate holder. I witnessed the auditors talking to members of the community to understand the extent to which they're benefiting from the certificate, to which there's consultation that takes place involving the people who live and benefit from the forest. I witnessed auditors verifying health and safety standards associated with workers in the forest. All of this is extremely important. And I think these kind of social aspects of the standard are taking an ever greater position within our overall standard. And for the time being, there really is no technology that enables us to monitor and evaluate adherence to those social standards. You need to get people into the forest actually asking questions. So there'll be more and more of that, I'm quite certain. That will free up quite a lot of resource for us to look at that. And there are problems associated with adherence to those social standards. We know in many parts of the world. I really see that as being an opportunity that emerges as a result of technology enabling us to manage the sort of chain of custody and the data side.
Mm. So you're saying that because the system sort of handles the day-to-day, the actual claims, we can focus more on social side, which is for me a giant plus. I just want to make sure that we're not making people nervous out there, because I've been in the system long enough to know that people get nervous when they hear that, well, how much data will FSC actually have access to, etc. And I'm just assuming and just want you to clarify for me that when you say we need to ensure that there's no false claims on the blockchain, we need to ensure that the data is accurate, that we won't have access to any of their data.
So I think one of the great beauties of the introduction of blockchain is that we will have data come through in real time. We will not be able to actually see the detail around it, but I think I can imagine a future state where in real time we're able to monitor whether or not there has been a false claim. And that in turn will enable us to be much more proactive. If you imagine a red light flashing at a point when there is a mismatch within the chain of custody that has been detected, you can immediately concentrate your efforts at that particular point and you can take action. You can seek to understand what happened. You can deploy your auditors. That whole shift from being reactive to proactive is really essential from our perspective.
What other exciting things do you see out there in the horizon, Mike? From our now release of blockchain and GIS tools and all these things that we've been talking about so long.
I think that anytime you can connect supply chains through blockchain and you can add GIS tools, for example, which are not just recording the time and date of a harvest, but looking at what's happening in a forest at a given time. I mean, that kind of geospatial analysis could be happening real time and flowing into supply chains. I mean, if you take the EUDR example, the one thing that companies need to do are risk assessments. And these things are going to be done on a frequency. But what happens now versus a year from now? What happens in between? Is that knowledge important for companies to even plan their sourcing or to take certain actions or to use mitigation measures if required? These kinds of things and this information flow, I think, is important when you combine geospatial analysis, which could be real time, with blockchain and the communication aspect of blockchain, communication aspect being you're connected with all of your supply chain, good information can flow because of that connection. I mean, there are even other examples when you look at our supply chain integrity team's work in wood identification. I mean, a lot of those tools that are used require taking samples, taking them on a certain period of time and recording them and having them also follow a chain of custody so that they can be recorded and tested in a laboratory, for example. So there are quite a few really innovative type of applications that you can see by combining blockchain with GIS or wood identification.
Mark, do you want to elaborate a bit on that?
Yeah, sure. I think this is quite an exciting and very much nascent area or mechanism through which traceability can be ensured. There are some very interesting partnerships that we have in place that are broadly aimed at the use of stable isotope of trace element, DNA technology potentially, that enables us to identify the provenance of the wood itself. I can see a point in the future, probably not too distant future, where we would be able to credibly verify the origin of the timber, upload verified data that proves that into the blockchain so that you can be assured that you're not passing a false claim throughout the chain of custody. At the moment, we can't do that. But I think that I can certainly see a very exciting point at which, we're able to combine Wood ID with blockchain, and that would enable us to really provide very, very credible evidence of the origin of the timber all along a complex chain of custody.
Yeah, because I guess that would also then enable companies further down the supply chain and say, well, one thing is that you have a fiber test from the very beginning, but if you're then at the end, you could do a similar fiber test and actually compare the results and see, are we actually talking about the same product here?
That's exactly the objective. If you've got the isotope profiles of the wood at its origin, and there's a match with the isotope profile of the leg of a chair, for example, and that has been passed throughout a blockchain verified chain of custody, then yes, you would have that very credible traceability in place.
And that really would be a new era for FSC. So before we end the conversation, I'd like to just ask you to zoom even further out than I already have been asking you to do all of this conversation. If you look 3 years ahead into the future, do you think we would really be in a new version of FSC? And if so, in your minds, what does that new version of FSC look like?
In 3 years' time, I envision that technologies like blockchain, probably even artificial intelligence, but definitely geospatial analysis and GIS tools will be much more widely adopted in FSC supply chains. If you look towards the future, I mean, you will find that ESG requirements across the board, you will have people not even wanting to work for a company if they don't show very concrete evidence that what they're doing and what they're about isn't causing problems. Climate change, deforestation, and a whole host of social and environmental issues. That is more and more the case. I mean, when I took this job at FSC, big selling point number one, it was paper-based and needed to digitize. And big selling point number two was what FSC is about, its mission, what it's trying to achieve. People care about, you know, who they work for and who they work with. So impact actually can go quite far. And, you know, the whole idea here, and I mean, the EU legislation is just one current example of really trying to force transparency, force knowledge of your supply chain so that you are operating well and that you can show evidence that you're not hurting the environment, no deforestation. It's a whole world of data and information that allows companies to really bring operations into check, but also fulfill on what their clients really want. They want to trust them. And I mean, trust goes so far when you show them a label, a certificate record. Every day, these companies are operating. So today, there is no capability to have any comparability or knowledge of potential disparities or potential improvements. Well, this is the beginning. Blockchain is the beginning. It's that infrastructure that would allow companies to share non-financial but important supply chain data. I mean, that's the starting point.
True. What about you, Mark? 3 years ahead, what is your version of FSC?
I think that we will be able to do three new things. The first one is I think that we will be able to meet the multiple needs of certificate holders by enabling compliance, for example, with EUDR requirements, in addition to certifying their chain of custody or their forest management unit. The second thing is I really do see us paying ever more attention to those social indicators, core labor requirements, the rights of indigenous people. I see that taking greater importance, so going beyond the environmental indicators. And thirdly, I think that we will have made quite significant inroads in the whole area of Wood ID technology. We have decided to sort of back that horse, and that means that we believe fundamentally that it is worth our while investing in partnerships, working with the scientific community to test and invest really in pilots around Wood ID. But I think that we will arrive at a point where there are sufficiently robust reference samples around the world that are held in a central location, and that provide us with the opportunity to really, really verify the match between the end product and the source. And that will be a real game changer for us. You couple that with blockchain, with other technologies around GIS, you know, you begin to have a certification system that really gives you that credible, that the wood that you are trading comes from where it's meant to come, to use very, very lay terms.
That's it. Thank you to both Mark and Michael for answering my questions and dreaming out loud with me. There's no doubt that the world is pivoting towards a more data and transparency-driven reality, and that FSC is moving fast with it, not only to keep up with legislation, but also to ensure that we remain relevant for our certificate holders and that we continuously push the boundaries for our impact on making sure that the forests of this world are managed sustainably. Let's hope that Mark is right when he hopes that a new era will not only bring proactive verification and indisputable proof of origin of products, but that it also enables us as an organization to focus our audits and the attention on the things that are so difficult to audit and capture: the social compliance, the rights of indigenous peoples, communities, and workers, and that this part of FSC certification as a result becomes enhanced and enriched. I would really vote for that. Let's also hope that Michael will see his dream come true when he dreams about an FSC being a true service provider that unlocks the incredible power of knowledge that sits inside the data that FSC not only collects on the ground, but that companies also contribute every single day as they create and trade products. A knowledge that could be used to move in a direction of lower emissions, less waste, more transparency, and ultimately, a more sustainable use of the world's resources. That was all for this episode. Remember to subscribe to Forest of the Future if you want to get notified of new episodes where we dive into other innovations within FSC and the world of certification and sustainable forest management. You can also always get in touch with me on podcast@fsc.org. I'm Laura Worm, and this was Forest for the Future.